moi, je ne veux plus voyager. Les sœurs sont à bonnes, sisters are on the bum. Les sœurs sont à bonnes, bum de la main.
Into Free City Radio here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is 11 a.m. and it is Wednesday, the 25th of August. I'm your host, Stefan Christophe. Thank you so much for being with us. We broadcast every Wednesday at 11 o'clock on People Powered Radio at 90.3 FM. Today on the broadcast, I'm going to be continuing a series of interviews that I've worked on to highlight activists at McGill University who have been challenging the role and involvement of McGill's endowment fund in TC Energy. TC Energy is the company that is constructing the Coastal GasLink pipeline, and that is on the Wet'suwet'en Nation's territory. That's the indigenous Wet'suwet'en Nation. There is no collective support for this pipeline on their lands, and there's been active protests against its construction. As the Government of Canada talks about reconciliation, I think that the case of the Wet'suwet'en Nation, which has clearly opposed this pipeline, but it's being pushed forward anyways by TC Energy Corporation, but with sort of the legal justifications from the BC government and the Canadian government, which have not blocked their pipeline construction, TC Energy's pipeline construction. I think this really shows the inherent structural violence of the resource extraction industries in Canada and how they are tied to histories of colonialism on a structural level. I spoke with an activist from, who's been involved in a number of projects around McGill to draw attention to structural racism, the campaign to remove the statue of James McGill, and also has been supportive of various human rights campaigns on campus. I spoke with Ayo, who gives some context and background around the campaign against the legacies of James McGill as a figure connected to colonialism, but also as someone who benefited off of the systems of slavery that worked to enslave people. Personally, James McGill actually was an owner of slaves and benefited financially from the slavery system. So a bunch of Black activists and allies at McGill have been campaigning to draw attention to this issue on campus. So Ayo speaks about this, but also links this struggle to the ways that McGill University's investments and the structure historically of the university, the sort of forces of power that granted McGill the space and the capital to establish the university are tied to this sort of history of systemic racism that is exemplified in a contemporary context through the construction of things like the Coastal GasLink pipeline that is being built without the consent of the indigenous people, the Wet'suwet'en Nation that is being affected. So that's on the broadcast today for Free City Radio. I'm your host, Stefan Christophe. Here's my conversation with Ayo.
Well, just based in like an understanding of history, an understanding of the history of, as you said, enslavement, also forced dispossession of land, that both of these with these facts are kind of were obviously very relevant to the existence and the founding of McGill University, the land that James McGill owned, that he was able to donate to the university. Although he might not himself have been the first expropriator of that land that he purchased, the settler colonialism of which he was a part, was, yeah, a historical process that he participated in and, yeah, obviously profited from by being able to own a large plot of land in the center of one of the most prominent cities or at least settlements in North America at the time. And yeah, the realities of that colonial history like play out every day, like to like in our time, like it has never, like those realities have never ceased. They have never like they have kind of continually accumulated and contributed to the marginalization and oppression of Indigenous peoples throughout the country that we're today like familiar with, some of us like more than others, of course. And yeah, similarly with the enslavement of people of African descent and also of Indigenous peoples to these lands. It's kind of, I mean, the like understanding the situation that both Indigenous peoples and many Black peoples within North America face is a historical, the history is vital to understanding. So, I mean, speaking more, in a more focused manner on the context of McGill University. So yeah, like James McGill owned at least five people as slaves. I don't remember the breakdown. I think, well, either three or two were Indigenous, and then the other two or three were of African descent. And yeah, I mean, not only did James McGill own people as property, he also profited off of that same structure of ownership, with his trades in the Caribbean. I mean, those are details that I'm no longer as familiar with. I don't remember all the details, but I mean, I'm not here really to give a history lesson. That history has been uncovered and is available for everybody to learn about, has been made most available by Dr. Shame Nelson and her students. Dr. Shame Nelson, who was until the end of last summer a professor of art history at McGill. Yeah, I mean, the historical context is vital to understanding the current marginalization and oppression that Black and Indigenous peoples, that really, I'd say, that Indigenous peoples and many Black peoples face on this continent, and then specifically within McGill University, where there are very few Indigenous peoples or Black people who enter into the university. I mean, yeah, these social groups are disproportionately underrepresented in institutions of higher education, within the student body, and also within the positions of power, and overrepresented in the social institutions of punishment and incarceration. So those connections between those can So that these are all connections between like the history and the present, and also the present situation of say, of the composition of institutions, both of higher education and also of marginalization and depression. So yeah, I mean, those are some general thoughts to begin with.
Ayo, thank you so much for sharing all that, and also pointing people in the direction of Charmaine Nelson's work, who has also spoke on CKUT many times about the research connecting James McGill to the enslavement of human beings. Ayo, could you just describe a little bit some of the actions and like efforts that you were involved in to try to highlight these issues? Because I've seen, you know, some really powerful photos that have come out, and I know that you put a lot of effort into organizing with many others some actions around campus that tried to address these issues.
Yeah, so I'd say this begins in the 2019 to 2020 academic year. I, within the Black Students Network of McGill, the BSN, worked with the Indigenous Student Alliance of McGill to, at the beginning of that academic year, we collaborated on an event. We collaborated on an event, on a solidarity event, basically underlying and trying to underline and expose and bring to light the reality of the colonial context that McGill, the colonial context of McGill and its experience and its effects, and I guess the experience of Black and Indigenous, of many Black and Indigenous students in the navigating an institution that's so white, that so often fails to acknowledge the lived realities, the history, the lived realities of these marginalized students, and also the social and historical context that is responsible for their marginalization. So this is kind of the one of the early moments of my involvement in trying to bring these concerns to light. Mm-hmm. I could jump next to February 2020, which is Black History Month of that year, of course. Actually, I was on CKUT to discuss, well, actually, yeah, it was some research that I had been doing with the Black Students Network. One, we had been looking through some of the archives within the BSN and just kind of learning a little bit more about some of the efforts that had been undertaken by previous generations of Black students to either bring to light experiences of the Black diaspora, of the African diaspora and of African peoples, through the creation of a Black Studies department at the university, and also just looking into the existence of other like research bodies that once existed at the university and that produced, I'm talking really about a specific institution. I believe the name is the McGill Consortium for Ethnicity and Strategic Social Planning. I believe that was the name. That once existed throughout the late 90s up to the early 2000s, that produced three reports on the condition of marginalized ethnic social groups. I believe specifically within Montreal, I know that at least two of them were specifically about Black peoples within Montreal, This is a research body of the university that no longer exists, has no longer, yeah, it's website, you can find it, that name, MCESSP. No longer exist, yeah, like the website is no longer updated. There's just not any kind of, and there's no clear public explanation as to what happened. I don't know if it was that the primary researcher who was in, or the primary professor or individual involved in this effort left the university or whatever happened, but this institution is now defunct. It had done some very, very interesting work. One statistic that I discovered from the most recent report of that that research body, which was released in 2010, and it's called something like Black Communities in Montreal, and so it's a study of the census data of the 2006 census with respect to Black people, the Black communities within Montreal. So this statistic is that the percentage of homeowners in the non-Black community is equal to the percentage of renters in the Black community within Montreal. So that is to say that it was around 63% of like non-Black communities within Montreal own their homes, whereas on the other hand, it was only like 37% in the Black community. 63% approximately of the Black community rented their homes, and that was just a very, very striking something that, like, I mean, yeah, like if without that research being done and made publicly available, an understanding of that sort of social, of racial inequality, rather, is completely lost for us. And so we wouldn't be able to analyze the kind of disparities in socioeconomic opportunity, race, that do exist in this city. And I mean, just to be clear about why that's an issue, like, the first of all, the starkness is incredible, is extraordinary. Like 63% of the non-Black community owns their home, whereas around 63% of the Black community don't own their home and therefore rent. Like, the reason that's stark is because, like, home ownership is so important to one's own wealth, but also to intergenerational wealth. If so many people in one community don't even own their own homes, they can't pass on the wealth of those homes, because homes generate, like, house, like real estate tends to increase in value definitely over the long run. And yeah, like that's going to be a very significant factor in racial wealth inequality. And I'm sure there were other statistics about racial wealth inequality that I don't remember, but yeah, these are important things. These are really, really important social facts that people need to be more aware of. And it was just something that I was discovering. So these are things that happened before, the murder of several Black people in the US and in Canada, that led to the global and, like, especially continental uprising here in North America over the summer of last year. So getting into that, again, while working with this time several of the Black student groups, I was involved in developing the Take James Down campaign. So this was a campaign directed, it could be said, primarily at the James McGill, the statue of James McGill, because James McGill was an owner of enslaved people of African descent and enslaved indigenous peoples. So this was an issue that was at the forefront of Black people's minds at the time. I don't mean the statue itself, but what the statue represents, and then also the culmination of grievances, of collective grievances of the Black, of members of the Black community within McGill, or Black communities within the McGill community. The Take James Down campaign is not just about the James McGill statue. That's like the important thing to say. Like the open letter that was
released, sure,
had several collective grievances and collective demands that were outlined, and it's important in terms of understanding what happened last year and why that the full context of those grievances and demands be understood. So that's publicly available. For instance, if you go to the Take James Down Facebook page, there's a link to the website that was created for this campaign and the demands in the open letter. So, it's super important. This is kind of on the side of like Black activism, really. Like, these were some of the profound activities. These were some of the activities that kind of had a profound impact on the consciousness of like many members within the Black community and also people within the McGill community more generally. So those are some things I think are important to highlight. I mean, I was also involved with the Divest for Human Rights Coalition that really took off, though it had kind of existed already in the winter semester of this year, and culminated, I'm sure people have already talked about this with you, in the successful passage and finally ratification of this policy to divest, policy to advocate for the McGill University to divest from several companies that are complicit in the human rights abuses of many state governments within across the world, including TC Energy, as you had spoken about, which is not only complicit in, but really kind of stimulating that kind of violent expropriation of indigenous people. Mm-hmm. So,
That was a conversation with Ayo, a community activist that has been involved in, as you've heard, organizing around justice and against systemic racism at McGill, campaigning to take down the statue of James McGill due to the links between James McGill and slavery and the enslavement of people. James McGill actually was a slave owner. This is part of a series here on Free City Radio that is trying to highlight different student activists and community activist voices at McGill that have been drawing attention to the legacies of structural racism that are linked to McGill University. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is Wednesday, the 25th of August. I'm your host, Stefan Christoph. We broadcast every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on CKUT, People Powered Radio at 90.3 FM. Do stay tuned. The F Files is coming up next, and we'll go out with an excerpt of a piece of music by Roots Manuva. I'll talk to you next Wednesday, and take care. Well.
monitor. We lean all day, and some say they ain't productive. Could that depend upon the demon that you're stuck with? Cause right now, I see clearer than most. I sit here contending with this cheese on toast. I feel the pain of a third world famine. Said wait, we count them blessings and keep jamming. Chism, scumbag, scum of the earth. His worth was nil until he gained the skill of tongues. From 15 years young, straight to my gray back self. I stay top shelf material. Jerk chicken, jerk fish. Break away, slave bliss. Generate G's and then be stashing with the Swiss. Fools can't see this. Under your pistols, a fist full of hip-hop duns. I progressing in the flesh. Esoteric quotes, most frightening. Duppy took a hold of my hand while I was writing. Leg on me ting, Duppy, leg on me an. I summon up the power of Banana Clan. Witness the fitness, the prophet and liveth. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the prophet and liveth. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the prophet and liveth. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the prophet and liveth. One hope, one quest. Swigging that heat root juice. Now we dead burning boots. Set them spirit them loose. Go ahead, go slash up the noose. We come close and close for both the truth, the right. Cause whether we hitchhike or push bike or travel kind of trash. Manifest that with oats and roots rap. Manifest that, yeah. I do my zing ways. Ain't nothing else I know. Gone up in the life with this Iraqi bone flow. Squeeze the pain from my belly and set my soul free. Travel over ocean, land and sea. Face enough stress and difficulty. Flung back from the brink. Why it kinda stink? We don't give a gift about what them fools think. Your network, our network will speak for itself. Proof of the trophy and the champion belt. Come sun, come rain, come hailstone pelt. Witness the fitness, the prophet and liveth. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the prophet and liveth. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the prophet and liveth. One hope, one quest. Yeah, wanna sit me with some old time. Let the old world know he's on some off-key tip. Mega manic. When time the pressure start lit. By the hook or by the crook, by the poop or by the kick heat. Sickly cryptic, spitting the code. And most proud to present that prophet in mode. And it shows that that bro's done. Seen a few slights. Life row scenario, reality bites. We in collision with the beast. Lost in religion, now we can't get no peace. Idiot, we got one for check out the cheese. Stoop to the level and be plotting cold grief. But we should know that discipline make up the geese. Separation of the dat from the rat, that's a must. Proceed, set speed with the Crawford 10 touch. Proceed, set speed, Crawford 10, y'all. Witness the fitness, the Crawford 10 liveth. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the Crawford 10 liveth. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness, the Crawford 10 liveth. One hope, one quest. Witness the fitness.
Thank you. Good morning. You are listening to the F-Files on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'll be your host today, IRL Human. It's August 25th, 2021. Wednesday, midweek, just after 11:30 a.m. But I'm recording this live from my studio on a Monday evening. It's very late. I have been here most of the day because it's been extremely hot out, and luckily I have air conditioning here and I don't at my apartment. So I've been hiding out here with my studio mate and fellow co-host. We're coming into the end of summer, still hot as ever, but rounding out August, and it's a very special week in Montreal.